Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Person's dinner preferences are way more important than whether they're Republican or Democrat. As long as they're not vegetarians, they're the real Green Party, as far as I'm concerned. And they never win, by the way. Today on Food Fight, we'll be discussing the trouble with tomatoes. Food manufacturers have figured out a way to make wholesome, delicious tomatoes bad for you. We'll also be exploring the wonderful world of dill. But right now, why eating meat can save the planet. Seriously.
Seriously?
What? Seriously?
Seriously?
Seriously? Seriously? It's so seriously.
Oh my God. So seriously. I can't believe it.
What have we learned?
We have learned that FarmWise, diet low but still has animal protein is better for land use efficiency and farming and productivity than either a diet really, really high in animal protein or especially one with no animal protein at all.
Now, meat obviously takes up a lot less space, so why wouldn't eating a lot more meat save even more land?
Well, because meat needs greens to live. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. you need to raise the meat before you eat the meat.
I'm starting to envision the production of our meat animals as like, you know, they're grown in a lab or something.
Close,
I forgot.
But not yet.
They're grazing.
They're grazing.
But
so far, we can only grow hamburger in a lab.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That should be, we can add all kinds of artificial chemical flavors to that.
Yay, but we can't make it steak. Not yet.
Can't make it stick.
Steak.
So can we? Oh, that's okay. Most people eat ground beef anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, imagine if we could supply all the McDonald's in the world with lab-grown, inexpensively produced meat that we could artificially put all kinds of extra vitamins and a lot less fat in.
That would save all of the rainforest because that's what they use.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would save everything.
Let's do that. Yeah.
We should make sure that our food scientists... Specifically, just the food scientists,
yeah.
not the other scientists.
Yeah, they're busy. They got their own products.
They can kiss it. Yeah, they're working on different flavors of mouthwash and stuff. But if the food scientists that are working on the development of lab-grown ground beef, not so you can buy it at home.
No.
Just so they can supply it to all the fast food chains.
Mm-hmm.
And then voila, we save the rainforest, we save the world. Eating meat, all the people that love to eat all this meat, those are the driving force behind the need to have this meat supplied in another way.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. No one eats those burgers. No one needs to really work on this.
Yeah, if we cut out
people
fast
food. People are still going to eat steak.
They're still going to eat really good steak.
And we're still going to eat, yeah, everyone's going to be eating really good steak all the time. It'll be a horrible thing. That wouldn't be horrible.
What?
That would be kind of good, actually.
That'd be great. So either we need to manufacture beef in a lab or shut down all the fast food.
Neither one of those is going to really, you know, the lab thing, that's going to happen sooner.
Yeah, because they're already working on it. They've already made a couple burgers. And
are they any good?
Yeah, they needed a little beet juice to make them a little more red. But besides that,
the flavor is fine, and all they have to do is add some food color?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we covered this, I think, a while ago.
Yeah, but I was drunk.
I know.
I completely forgot. You can't expect me to remember this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, right now the price is costly, but the more they work on it, the cheaper it gets.
Which is, that's what drives America.
Exactly.
And that's perfect. And then there will be food lab-grown ground beef competition.
And
driving the price down even more.
PETA and other things said...
Because it's never an animal.
It's never an animal.
That's how we're going to get the world to eat meat.
There we go.
That is our mission, to make even the vegetarians and the vegans meat-friendly. Because...
It's not harmful.
It saves the world. It does. Eating some meat...
Some meat.
Not a ton of meat.
No.
Eating the amount of meat that I eat is probably not doing the world any good. But eating some, 2-3 servings of some kind of meat per week.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to go whole hog on this. I mean, you can be a vegetarian who is a slight flexitarian.
That's what they call it now, flexitarian.
Yeah, flexitarian. It's like it's like when they came up with the term metrosexual. You know, it basically, okay, you're still you, but you're slightly off, you know,
you're feminine-esque, but you like girls,
but you like girls. Yeah. And so it's the same thing with a flexitarian, which is stupid. I think it's idiotic that millennials are basically following a normal diet, but they've come up with a different name for it.
Well, they want to sound cool.
You know
I eat less meat. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm a flexitarian.
I'm a slightly allergic food-wise veggie peeling flexitarian.
I'm a veggie.
And I'm allergic to bananas.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and allergic to something.
Yeah, and
off,
I don't like,
but mainstream.
And I don't like eggplant. So that defines me. That statement defines me. I'm a slightly allergic food-wise flexitarian. No one would want to date me.
Yeah, when you hear that, you know exactly what that person is. You're like, okay, all right, you're a tool. I get it.
Yeah, you're a tool. I don't want to spend any time with you. You've just said it all. That's all I need to know.
You've made my life easier.
And thank you for making my decision very, very simple. Dinner's on me. So if you're a total vegetarian and you're eating only vegetables, and obviously it takes a lot more land to grow these vegetables than it would if there was a grazing cow
or
on this land.
More efficient would be pig, because they would take all the parts of the plant they don't use to sell the vegetables and feed those to the pig and use that also.
Plus, pigs are delicious.
Pigs are delicious.
And you can make pretty much anything out of pig because they have all these different body parts that are so useful for other things. You can take the lean meat and you can grind it.
Yeah.
And then you have a nice lean ground pork. That's delicious.
Very good.
Roasted pork loin, marinated, fantastic. You have your ribs, which are by far, I got to tell you, probably one of the tastiest things on the planet.
Yeah, I've had beef ribs and pork ribs together, and I'm like, why would you bother with beef ribs?
Don't bother with the beef ribs.
Don't bother. Unless
and
you're
you know
boil
what? They're too big anyway.
They're too big.
They're too big and clumsy
and tough. Pork ribs.
And it takes so much longer to get the meat tender, and it takes so much longer to cook the darn things. Mm-hmm. I mean, but with pork, they're just the right size. They're handle size and they're kid size. So what's better is you can take them all apart, and everyone in the family loves grabbing them and basically mauling them like a hyena. I mean, you get to feel very animalistic when you're enjoying a rib because you are required to chew on that bone.
Oh, you have to.
You can't cut it off.
You can even feel your teeth breaking through it if it's cooked properly in the bone, and it makes you feel more
get
carnival.
That like gooey, wonderful,
I tear it apart.
Melted, gelatinized fat. Wow. I mean, it's so wonderful and tasty and delicious. I'm getting hungry just thinking about
it. I know,
it.
Me too.
And then, of course, bacon.
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 If you don't know what bacon is, go back under your rock.
Go back under your rock. There's something wrong with you.
There's something wrong.
But bacon, while probably the most, well, it's the least healthy.
it's the most fatty.
It's the most fatty, least healthy. Actually, it's not actually that unhealthy. I mean, it's actually been shown to be kind of good for you. Mm-hmm. Think of it as vitamin P.
Vitamin pork. I love it.
And so every once in a while, once, twice a week, get some bacon into your system. There are actually vitamins in bacon that are fat soluble. And what better way to get a fat-soluble vitamin into your body than by eating it with a nice big pile of pork belly.
So kale and broccoli are both really good for you, but both need fat.
You have to eat fat, or you get nothing out of it. You're eating a nasty, fibrous veggie for no reason.
So toss your kale and a little bit of bacon fat, or your broccoli, and you get all the vegetables at it and all the flavor of bacon. You get best of both worlds.
Plus, put some chopped bacon on top.
Yeah, if you want. Or
that's
just
really, really good. Also, if you want to go really a little bit extra on the adding fat to it thing, put just a scotch of saffron mayonnaise. You know, you take your mayonnaise. Don't make it yourself. Get the cheap kind at the store. The cheaper, the better. The flavor's better with the cheaper kinds. You add a little bit of saffron. You stir it in there, you know, and then you just a little bit. You toss the broccoli in that with your bacon bits. It's really, really, really good.
You know what? After the show, I'm going to go home and try to make a bacon mayonnaise. Bacon fat mayonnaise.
Bacon fat mayonnaise?
Yes.
You sure that'll emulsify properly?
If you do it right. I might have to cut it with a little bit of other oil, but I'm going to make it.
Okay. Well, you're using the bacon fat in lieu of the egg?
No, bacon fat in lieu of the oil, and I'm going to cut that with a little bit
And then just put the egg white.
No. No? Egg yolk.
No, just plain yolk.
Yeah, just yolk.
So take the white out.
Yeah, always. With mayonnaise, you always take the whites out.
I never make my own mayonnaise.
Oh, yes.
Ever.
I've always been so lazy that I will never, ever
make my own aioli.
Oh.
Because then I have to know what's going into it, and then I can't be ignorantly happy. I can't be blissfully ignorant about what is in my mayo. If I get it from a store and I scoop it out of a jar,
it's this beautiful white creamy spread.
It tastes better, and you know what? It's just something that I just got out, so it couldn't possibly be bad for me.
No, of course
not. It came out of a mass-produced package with a label on it that says made with real olive oil. Right?
Well, that should be aioli then.
It has to be good for me.
Yes.
Yeah, so then you just take your mix-ins, and then there's your aioli. There's your fancy house-made aioli. You took a tablespoon of store-bought mayonnaise and you threw some saffron in it. That's really, really delicious. So do the world a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Eat some meat.
Eat some bacon once in a while.
Yeah. And you'll be saving the world. You'll be saving the rainforest. We'll be maximum, Our land will be used to maximum efficiency.
There's
7 billion of us now. We really need to be maximizing the efficiency of how we use our land.
But that's all in the hands of the farmers as opposed to us. Like, there's farmers.
They respond to the demand.
And then there's also someone else who raises the animals.
Yeah, but they're
don't kind of hang out together.
The production of these things and how they have to expand their farms, it entirely depends on their demand. They wouldn't be expanding their farms and get buying more acreage if there wasn't a shortage of certain types of vegetables that they grow. And that store's running out.
Mm-hmm.
So stop eating so many vegetables. Stop it. Eat more meat.
Eat more vegetables and put meat on it.
Yeah.
Be Americans. Eat more.
They're all fat soluble anyway. What's the matter with you people? We've been saying that for years. So, eat some meat, try to include a little bit of pork,
mm-hmm.
definitely get some ribs in there, get a little bacon. You know what? You can still be a vegetarian and eat meat. You just have to say, I am a vegetarian, part-time flexitarian. Now
most
that you
vegetarians eat chicken anyways, which is like the worst land-efficient animal we have.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is a chicken less of an animal than a cow or a pig?
No.
And they are dumber.
You can get lean pork.
People
go for chicken because it's lean. You can get a fat.
Well, pescatarians eat fish, but they're otherwise vegetarians. They're trying to trick themselves into thinking that a fish is so dumb that it's basically a vegetable. It's not.
No.
It's an animal.
It'll run away from you and try and catch it.
Yeah, I've never had a corn cob do that.
No.
I've never had a corn cob see me come in and go, ee! And
not
then
yet.
Run, you know, and then try to get away. And I've never tried to hook one.
Ee!
By hanging some piece of popcorn off of a hook and try to use it as bait to attract more corn. No, that's never happened. So you can call yourself whatever the heck you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can make up a new name for it. You can even call it, you know,
porkitarian.
Porkitarian. Well, that's me. I'm a porkitarian. When we come back, we'll be exploring the enigmatic and aromatic world of dill. Yes, we're so good, we can even make dill exciting. You'll be sorry if you miss this one. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz, and with me in studio is a real dillweed, Chef Marcus.
I call my little brother that. His name is Dylan.
That's dill just mean. Weed. Why is dill that weed. Mean?
Why is that mean?
Why is it mean? What's wrong with dill? What's so horrible about dill that that's an insult?
It just rhymes. Anything that rhymes is insulting, I think.
Dill and weed do not rhyme.
Well, no, but calling Dylan dillweed, I guess they don't rhyme either, but they sound alike.
Okay, Marcus. That yeah. doesn't rhyme with dill.
No, I don't know why. Yeah, exactly.
So we're talking about dill. People don't like dill.
I don't know why. It's full of magnesium, which is great for you. Full of vitamin C. It's actually an underappreciated herb.
It's hugely underappreciated. Very and the reason good. You know that is because you walk past the fresh herb section in the grocery store. The basil is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the chives are gone. You know, you got your rosemary. That's gone. And your mint is gone.
And there's a stack of dill.
This giant stack of dill. Nobody wants it. No one wants the dill. It's like they don't know what to do with it.
Well, just it's overpowering. But if you're ever making any Greek food, dill is what you want to do. Dill is great on there. Salmon? You've had gravlax?
You cannot have a delicious broiled salmon
no.
without dill.
No, you cannot.
The flavor of dill, for some reason, I don't know why, but it goes on there. And it brings out the flavors of the salmon, the good flavors, not the bad fishy flavors, but the wonderful flavors that make everyone just drool over drippy, broiled, greasy, wonderful, fresh salmon. It's got dill on it.
Yes.
The reason that you love that flavor is dill.
Dill.
And it goes great into sour creams.
Yeah, yogurt mixes, hummus. Dill goes great in a fresh salad. If you're making a salad, you buy that box of salad mix. You want people to think you're fancy? Grab some dill, chop it up,
put
mix
that
it with
there.
That lettuce, and call it a fresh herb salad. Like, oh, I can taste the fresh herbs.
And it's great. If and you also dill. Put orange segments in there,
oh,
the
yeah.
orange segments plus
orange
the dill,
and dill
they make that salad
together.
10 times fancier
yeah.
and way more delicious.
And it's dirt easy to make.
And
it's
that salad would stink without the dill.
Exactly.
It would just be
a citrus salad.
Everyone's going to know that you bought a pre-mixed bag of salad at the store and brought it home and threw it in a thing with some canned mandarin orange segments. They're going to know that.
You know that, but with the dill, it gives it that little taste of, wow, what is this?
Yeah,
this doesn't even need dressing.
And it looks like you actually tried.
Yes.
And people are going to be like, ooh, I should make that at home because that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you do with dill?
So now, if you are a big pesto fan, you cut that out or make a dill pesto.
Dill pestos are fantastic.
They're great. And again, very underappreciated. But dill pestos are
well, everyone
wonderful.
Loves pesto. Everyone loves pesto.
Everyone loves pesto.
At a certain point, if anyone visits an Italian restaurant, they're going to say, ooh, pesto. I haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
I have good memories about the last time I had pesto, so I'm going to order that now. It goes fantastic on most pastas.
Yes.
And we're talking plain.
Plain. Plain.
And people do love their intricate, you know, complex, ingredient-rich sauces. But a pesto isn't.
No, it's just herb, nut, oil, and
that's
garlic.
It. That's it. You throw that into a food processor, and that's pesto.
That's pesto.
And you don't need much
pesto.
Of it.
Pesto!
A little goes a long way.
Yeah.
And so that noodle, you're going to really appreciate that noodle. People love noodle.
People love their noodles. People love their carbs.
You say the word pasta,
mm-hmm.
and people just
ooh,
go,
ooh, I could go for pasta.
Pasta. In fact, if we talk about pasta, you and me, for too long, I then have to have pasta for lunch. I cannot help it. I must go to Italian place and have pasta. And sometimes I'll have pesto on my pasta.
Of course.
So I know it's delicious because at that point, when I've gone super crazy about something we've been talking about, which, okay, it happens. I'm highly suggestible, you know, but that's going to satisfy me. You know, that's going to be something that's really great. And pesto goes on everything.
Yeah.
Any other ingredients you put into something, pesto is going to be good. It even works on sandwiches
sandwiches,
you smear
bread,
it, smear
wraps,
it on some bread. It goes good
pizza.
In most sandwiches.
Salad dressing.
And you were saying hummus. So you can get inexpensive store-bought hummus.
Yeah.
Chop up some dill. Throw it in there.
Boom.
Stir it in.
Just like we talk about aioli. Same difference.
And you can just seriously micro-dice some red bell pepper.
And you're golden.
Mix that in there with the dill in the hummus.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will love you.
Yeah, it'll be great. You just like some cucumbers. Like, oh, cucumbers, they dip it in that. They'll love it.
They're really, really fantastic. What else can we do with dill?
You can make booze with it.
I knew we were going there eventually.
Yeah.
And we happen to have something here in the studio that we're going to be tasting.
Uh-huh.
What is this?
Aquavit. So it's translated to water of the gods. Oh, water of life, sorry. I mixed ours with a little bit of sparkling water to kind of cut the alcohol, but really make the flavor more aromatic.
So how much of this is sparkling water and how much of this is liquor?
Two parts sparkling water, one part liquor.
Okay, so not much liquor.
No, not much liquor.
And it's kind of a small cup.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't even fill it all the way because they don't like us drinking here at KCBQ.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. It's in the name of research, science, development of food. Uh-huh. And once we sip this, we are going to tell people how they can cook with Aquavie. Mm-hmm. So, but in order to do that, we need to taste it.
Yes, we
do. And we need to detect all of the wonderful floral notes of this dill-based alcohol. Dill. Here we go. Ew. Gargle with it. Okay. You know what it is? It is mouthwash-esque.
It is alcoholic. Ooh,
so,
geez.
Cool. Nasty. What? People drink this?
Oh, yeah. This is a Scandinavian drink. Scandinavian and Norwegian, where they have a lot of seafood, and that's where they make this
it's
drink.
It's horrible.
Oh, it's really bad. It's really, hold on.
You're going to drink more of it. Here, I'm going to drink more of it, too. It's so bad, I'm going to drink a little bit more.
I don't know. I just like booze, so.
Oh. God, that's vile. Why?
Why?
Why would you do this to me?
Because,
You're mad balut? At me from the last time when I made you eat balut.
Balut.
Yep.
That was your last time.
And now we've been sipping Aquavie. It's not delicious, folks.
It's not.
I'm sorry. Go buy some because we're going to tell you to.
Yeah.
but
what this does lend itself to a lot. Now, I've worked in a Norwegian restaurant, and there we played with this. And we kind of made a butter sauce. So it wouldn't be a beurre blanc.
It tastes a lot like fennel.
It does.
It really does.
What's in here is fennel and dill. And then so you boil that down a little bit, throw in some butter, and you have this rich
fennel butter. Dill butter is good. Fennel butter is good. Any kind of reduction sauce made with either dill or fennel is good.
Yeah.
So what do you need the herb for when you can just get the booze and cook that down?
Depends on what you want to do. You want to see the herbs, then you want to see the herbs.
Put some shallots in there, you know, maybe put a little bit of vinegar in there. And then you have your butter sauce and you can reduce that down. You make your shallot, maybe a little garlic. You've got a little bit of oil to cook that in. And then you add your Aquavie.
Mm-hmm.
You cook it down to a nice, thick, seriously nasty tasting reduction. And then you start slowly adding the butter on low temperature.
Now, if you've always made whenever you make the burr sauces, the butter sauces, they break. When you have the shallots and everything with oil, add heavy cream. And then still cook it down to it's almost a paste. Because the heavy cream will boil down but not break.
But not on a high temperature.
No, still low.
You'll kill the heavy cream if it's on a high temperature. You keep it on a low temperature.
You can let it boil because heavy cream is much more stable than any other milk.
I almost set my kitchen on fire one time boiling heavy cream.
Wow.
I'm not even sure if that's possible.
But it still happened. But then at the end, then you turn it off and add your butter in. And that'll hold it all together better. Heavy cream is one of the restaurant tricks for beurre blancs, beurre rouges, or all of that.
All the beurre blancs you make at home don't mention heavy cream.
No.
They all mention butter. But it'll keep it blended for longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you make it with butter, you're going to have to eat it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to last. It's going to start to separate pretty quick. It's going to be delicious.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely delicious. But you're going to have to eat it hot and right away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to put cream in it, you can actually save that. You can actually put it in your fridge. You can freeze it into ice cube trays.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
And then you have beurre blanc cubes,
you have
which you can thaw and then nuke for any 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Stir it around. You're good. Your fresh, delicious, fragrant, aromatic dill and fennel beurre blanc that you've whipped out of your freezer because you made it 6 months ago.
Exactly.
That's some fantastic stuff. I like to have a tray of grapefruit beurre blanc, which is my all-time favorite. Mm-hmm. And because you know, once you go to the trouble of getting some shellfish, like a crab or a lobster or a king crab leg, and gone to the trouble of cooking it and cracking it, you are now tired.
Yes.
So your frozen beurre blanc cubes are going to save you.
Yeah, exactly.
You are not going to be in the mood to make a fresh beurre blanc after you've gone to the trouble of cracking a spiny a California lobster, and you now have holes all over your hands because those little bastards are armored.
Yeah, armored and prickly.
But what goes better with an Aquavie beurre blanc than lobster?
Nothing.
Oh my God, that would be the tastiest thing ever.
I'm gonna have to make that now.
Make it. You're gonna have to make it for me
because
now I'm in the mood for it. So that's our agreement.
Yep.
You know, I make you a radio celebrity and you cook for me.
Celebrity?
Minor. Mini celebrity.
What? Four listeners.
People
out there.
Love us. This drink is bad.
Yeah, actually, it's good for, though, marinating.
Put some of that energy drink that you have in here. We'll see if that makes it a little bit better. And then we can share a cocktail recipe with our listeners. Let's see. Oh, it's blue.
Oh, it's so blue.
Oh, that's beautiful. That makes a lovely, because the Aquavie is kind of yellowy. The Aquavie is yellowy. The mineral water, obviously the sparkling water, makes it. It's slightly yellow, and then we're adding a bright blue triple berry flavored energy drink.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful green tropical punch color
that,
now.
That energy drink flavor is so powerful. It's there's no more Aquavit in your cup. Did I not give you enough? There's a little
wow.
bit, but yeah, it's gone.
That is a potent energy drink, and it almost completely diluted the flavor of the Aquavit.
Yeah.
That's something.
But like I say, Aquavit would be great to marinate pork in.
A little that would pork. Be great.
It would break it down really nice because the acids, and then when you cook it off.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Yeah. So
take a nice, a tough pork loin, marinate it in Aquavit.
Yeah.
2 days.
2 days. And then grab some walnuts, some chopped apple, toss them in dill, and then roll them on the outside of a cheese log, like a goat cheese, and then have that with your salad with your pork chop.
Ooh.
There you go.
And you can use the pan drippings also as that's all you need.
Never forget.
You don't have to make an extra sauce.
Yeah.
You don't need an extra sauce with this pork loin because it's been cooking in delicious things.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the stuff that ekes off that thing while it's cooking, that's your sauce.
That's your sauce.
You know, just whisk it up a little bit. Just scrape off the bits.
A little butter or whatever else you want in there. A little bit more booze.
Great.
A little more booze.
Don't put any more booze in there. You can taste the alcohol unless you cook it off.
Well, yeah, I'll cook it off. But yeah.
When we come back, we're going to take our favorite comfort foods and gourmet stuff and put it on a stick. Yes, your desperate cries have finally been heard. Food Fight Radio will return on a stick.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine-In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Clark Katz. You know how to take a well-loved food and make it even better?
Oh, please tell me.
Put it on a stick.
Oh, yes.
Put it on a stick.
Put it on a stick.
Food's on a stick. We've responded to your desperate cries and emails, and now we have more foods on a stick. What kind of wonderful, delicious things can our glorious listeners put on a stick?
Okay, so how about a Twinkie? They came back. You grab a Twinkie. You get some chopped chocolate, some chopped nuts. You roll a Twinkie in that. Put it on a stick. There you go.
And eat it.
And eat it.
You forgot that part. That's an important part.
You do that for kids in a party, for a school PTA meeting. They'll pay big money for that and be wowed.
Or if you're the mom who's doing the snacks.
Yeah.
Holy moly. They'll be super impressed.
Oh, they'll love you.
No one has ever done that before at those meetings or get-togethers or parties or after soccer things. No one's ever done that.
No.
Granted, some of those parents might be a little bit pissed off that you're feeding their little athlete nothing but a big pile of sugar.
Again, I want to say, feed it to them before you send them home where you don't have to watch them anymore.
And then when they have their sugar rush, you don't have to be the one to deal with the aftermath. That's good. The kids will love you. The parents might not love you so much, but the kids, they're always going to love you. And more importantly, those kids are going to love your kid.
Uh-huh. And who's going to live longer, the parents or the kid?
So exactly.
Who do you want to love you
who
more?
Who do you want to impress? Exactly. I mean, really, who is your audience here? And plus, you make more friends for your kid.
Exactly.
Whose house are they going to want to party at when it's time to party?
That might be a plus or a minus.
Where are they going to want to have a sleepover? Who are they going to have invited to their Sweet 16?
Yep. And you want to make sure that's at your house so you can watch them, because you don't trust those other parents. You want to make sure they're not.
Especially if there's alcohol.
Exactly.
Alcohol and Twinkies on a stick.
Twinkies.
That's like the best party ever. What else can you put on a stick?
Oh, geez. So I was out this last week and I saw lobster on a stick. They took a lobster tail.
How was that?
I didn't try it.
You didn't try it?
I went by it and said, I have to come back and find this.
We drove to Vegas so you could try lobster on a stick, and you didn't try lobster on a stick?
Okay, each casino has like a mall inside, and it's set up by Walt Disney, so it's all crazy and confusing, and you don't know where you are all the time. I couldn't find it. I tried to find lobster on a stick, and I never found it again.
You know what I had that was really good?
What's that?
Lobster on a plate.
I don't understand. Eh? That has nothing to do with sticks.
I don't even understand. You put it on a plate.
Why would you do that?
Well, it's on a plate, and then you eat it off the plate.
Have you even had that before?
There's a fork, and...
Haven't you done that before, though?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that you don't do it again. Lobster is delicious. What were they going to do to lobster on a stick? Were they going to deep fry it?
Yes.
Deep fried lobster on a stick.
And that's probably why I avoided it also. I was worried it would become really gummy.
Well, okay, it would.
Yeah, it would. It would be really rubbery.
It would
rubbery.
Be probably kind of lousy. Aside from the novelty of it, and I can see why somebody might pay $10 or $12 for it to see get lobster on a stick, but ultimately you're taking a delicate meat, a succulent lobster meat, and you're battering it and deep frying it?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because people will pay $14 for it.
Why? You know why? Because it's on a stick.
It's on a stick.
Because it's on a stick. People love stuff on a stick. Mm-hmm. What else can we put on a stick?
Corn. Chop corn in half, grill corn, and have it on a stick. It's great at barbecues.
How do you
barbecues.
Get the corn cob onto the stick?
You cut the corn cob in half and you skewer it with a stick.
Really? You got to really jam that thing in there.
Yeah.
I mean, corn cobs are tough. I can't even bite through them.
Oh, well, you should have no problem with a stick, though. I mean, it's actually a lot easier than it sounds. You boil it first a little bit and you put the stick right in there.
It's a regular, like, skewer, though.
Yeah, I get mine at Smart and Final, but it's like an apple stick where you put apples on sticks.
Oh, that kind of stick. It's not a skewer stick. It's a lollipop stick, a popsicle stick.
A little bigger than a popsicle stick, but yes.
Okay. And bringing up apples on a stick.
Apples on a stick.
Apples on a stick. How about that?
Who does not like apples on a stick?
So you're going to put apples on a stick. You can dip them in all kinds of stuff. It doesn't have to be that hard, nasty, cinnamon-flavored candy shell, which is a pain to cook.
Yeah.
It's a pain to cook because you need a candy thermometer, and it won't work right unless it's the exact right temperature to the number.
Yes.
I don't make candy because of that. Candy is a pain.
Yeah.
Making candy is a pain. And then do you have any idea how hard it is to wash those dishes?
I was going to say that the crusted rock hard candy on those things.
You need to run boiling hot water into that pot for like a day to get that crap off that. Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Use caramel.
Caramel.
It's
chocolate.
Tastier anyway.
People like it.
It's delicious. You can make it red.
Yeah.
Red colored caramel. You put some red food coloring in there. You have a caramel apple on a stick. Not a candy apple.
No.
Screw the candy apple. Don't do that. That was fun 100 years ago when people had no idea how to make candy. Okay? And case in point, it was an apple.
Yeah.
The apple was the most delicious candy-like thing people could come up with.
Think about eating a candied apple with a rock hard, just sugar shell. The apple's the best part. Nice and crisp and delicious.
You got to bite through that thing. Now you're all sticky.
Uh-huh.
Right? And now your face is red and sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And you it's like really hard. It's like biting through a lollipop to get to the Tootsie Roll Center. Right?
That's why they sell Tootsie Pops.
That's lame.
Yes.
Don't do that. Put red caramel. Even better, you know what we were talking about, Aqua V?
Uh-huh.
Okay? You can take licorice flavor, which is similar.
Yes.
You know? And you can put the licorice flavor into the caramel, add some black food coloring.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun.
We talked about this on our All Licorice show.
Mm-hmm.
And dip the apple in that.
And then pour some white chocolate on top, and it will be a zebra. And that'll
cover
be great.
It with tiny Reese's Pieces or tiny M&Ms, the mm-hmm. kind they use on frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
And everyone will love you.
Exactly. Just like the Twinkie rolled in something, you do that.
And that's on a stick.
That's on a stick.
On
that's
a stick. Easy. A good way to get Oreos on a stick is you take one Oreo, you take another Oreo, you put frosting in the middle, and you jam it together on a stick and freeze it.
Oh.
At that point, you can put a chocolate shell on it because it's frozen. The chocolate shell, you know, obviously it hardens instantly. Then you have chocolate-covered Oreos on a stick. It's a frozen Oreo whoopie pie. How fabulous is that?
And who does not like whoopie?
Everyone likes whoopie.
Everyone likes whoopie.
Yeah, it's a whoopie-based country. we built this city on whoopie pies. What else can we put on a stick?
Oh,
let's do
Italian
meats on
sausages.
A stick. Oh, yeah.
I love Italian sausages on a stick. You can make corn dogs with them, but everybody knows that. But just the sausage itself on a stick. You don't need bun. Somebody in your party is avoiding carbs.
You know, a bun is a pain.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
You don't need it all.
The bun is a handle.
Exactly.
If you have no bun, well, you're not going to pick up a sausage and eat it.
No.
But
I mean,
a stick
would,
is also a handle.
Exactly.
So if you have a stick, you don't need a bun. You just have your nice, delicious Italian grilled sausage. Maybe a dip. What kind of a dip would be good for an Italian sausage?
Oh, just can't think of it now. Mustard, Guinness mustard, Aqua V in the brand.
Any kind of, you know what,
any
you
kind
can
of mustard, I think,
you can actually make an Aqua V reduction
mm-hmm.
by just cooking it down.
Cooking it down.
Nothing fancy. Put it in a pot, cook it down, add some full grain Dijon.
Oh, that'd be great.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of a flavor would go better than a mustard?
Again, aquavits and dill is very German.
Dill mustard. Very, very attractive. So you have that sauce. And if you want to make the sauce a little bit fluffier, go ahead and add a little bit of mayonnaise to it or some mascarpone cheese.
Oh, I was thinking cheese. Mascarpone
cheese.
You
it's
whip
nice
it
and
first
light.
And then fold it in there. It would be great.
You know, a lot of people don't really know what mascarpone cheese is other than they put it in tiramisu.
Mm-hmm.
But tiramisu is so sweet that people still don't get a chance to really taste what mascarpone cheese is. What it is it's kind of like a ricotta, except it's lighter, milder, and fluffier.
Okay.
And slightly more creamy.
Yeah, because ricotta is kind of cheesy.
Ricotta is grainy.
Yeah, it is really grainy.
It's like a it's like someone took cottage cheese and put it in a food processor. That's what ricotta is kind
exactly,
of like.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's no good. Ricotta is good for Italian dinner, you know? Mm-hmm. But mascarpone is good for dessert. And the reason it's good for dessert is because it's light, it's fluffy, it's mild, it's creamy, and it's not overly sweet, which means you can flavor it and sweeten it with anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Take the unsweetened form of mascarpone, mix it with any heavy sauce, and now you have a light, fluffy, wonderful sauce that's perfect for dipping. Good example, Italian sausage on a stick. The Italian sausage on a stick, you're going to mix it with your Aqua V ground mustard sauce that's been fluffed up with some mascarpone, and put that in a nice big dipping bowl. No double dipping, because that is not cool. And the best way to avoid that is to, when you're making your Italian sausage, slice the sausage and cook it up real quick in a saute pan.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit of oil.
A little bit of oil.
Not much.
Get some color on it. You're
and
good.
It'll get browned all over. Serve those with smaller sticks. You Americans like to refer to them as toothpicks.
You Americans.
Stick those in there. Well, I'm Canadian.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Right. Yeah. I'm a Canadian Jew.
Forget. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think of food a little bit differently.
Mm.
And, well, so do you. You're all Norsky.
I am a Norsky. I love big hunks of food.
Big hunks of animals.
Yeah.
Big hunks of animals. You want to make Chef Marcus happy? Give him a hunk of an animal. Put it on a stick. Give him a decent sauce. And that's dinner. And that's the best way to have meat on a stick.
Yes.
What other kind of meats can you put on a stick?
You can put anything. Skewers. So beef, pork, chicken on a stick, cook it over a fire. If you want to make it more fun, you just take the whole chicken breast, put it on a stick, and grill it in an open grill and pull it out, and you have a chicken sickle.
Here's even better. Leftover meat. Cut it up, put it on a stick, sear it over a fire.
That's beautiful.
Because then you don't even have to do anything with the stick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, putting raw meat on a stick is a pain.
It is.
So take cooked meat.
Oh, there we go.
Cooked leftover meat. You can have brisket. You could have stew meat. You could have lamb. You could have your chicken. You could have leftover shrimp cocktail.
Leftover night. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you're preparing to put stuff on a stick, all you need is a stick, and you got to take your meat, and you got to put something liquidy juice on it.
I would say teriyaki is an easy one because it's sweet and salty. People love that.
Or just pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice
and spices. You can also use salad dressings. Mm-hmm. And I know you people have like 15 salad dressings open in your fridge, getting dangerously close or beyond to their expiration dates. Take some of those. They're not bad.
Yeah,
these things are 100% sugar. Like they're going to go bad. No, they're 100% chemicals and sugar. Expiration dates are merely required by the FDA. Those expiration dates mean nothing. I have whipped out a 4-year-old salad dressing and it was perfectly fine.
Not bad.
Now, naturally, I'm going to taste it before I throw it away automatically. Yeah, yeah. I mean, other people, they'd say July of 2011. And then they put it in the trash.
Yeah.
Now, me, I'm going to say July of 2011, and then I'm going to taste it, and then I'm going to say, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
And if I'm questionable about it, I'll just boil it with something.
And the best part is, if you're taking an expiration, a beyond expiration, a salad dressing that has outlived its predecessors, we'll say, take that thing, you put it on something that you're going to be grilling or cooking over a fire. It doesn't matter.
It'll kill everything in there.
And like anything's going to be in there. It's salt, sugar, and chemical.
Yeah, all three of those are curing agents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They kill everything. It's a sauce made out of things that kill things. You're really afraid of this thing going bad?
That's true. And then you pour it over something that was killed for you.
Yeah, and so you've got this old teriyaki dressing, the sauce. Okay, take the Russian, mix it with the teriyaki. That's going to be a good combination. Mm-hmm. Very tasty. Put that together, coat your meat on a stick with it, grill it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Grill it or do it redneck style. And cook it over your gas range.
There we go.
Which is what I do when my girls want toasted marshmallows and I am too lazy to go make a fire outside. And it works.
Oh, I bet it works.
When we come back, how big, huge, evil food manufacturers have abused, mutilated, and repurposed the poor, innocent, and defenseless tomato and turned it into a twisted experiment so debilitating to the little tomatoes that they're going through little pulpy identity crises.
Aww.
They don't know whether they're fruits or vegetables anymore. Oh, it's really sad. And we're starting a support group for fruits that think they're vegetables. Other people are saying that there's something wrong with them and they need to be straightened out, but we think they're just born that way. Food Fight Radio will be right back.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building.
You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. And we're speaking to you today in defense of the poor, innocent, abused tomatoes everywhere. It's a super healthy, awesome little fruit, and food manufacturers are treating them like caustic little tumors that need to be blasted with poison in order to make them obedient. Terrible, terrible treatment of such a nice, well-mannered little fruit. The tomato does not deserve to be made to feel that way. We need to help them feel better about themselves in the face of all this fruit bullying. These little tomatoes are jumping off of bridges and leaping to their deaths into little puddles of tomato-based suicide sauce. Oh, you think I'm being overdramatic? You think I'm overstating things? Well, here at Food Fight Radio, we may be a lot of things, but we're never wrong. Here's the trouble with tomatoes. So, tomatoes are coming out of a garden. They're fresh. They're delicious. They're wonderful. But what happens when they're out of season?
They're tough. They're green. But tomatoes are one of the easiest things to grow and easiest plants to take care of.
And one of the easiest things to can.
Yeah. Super easy.
So what happens when you need a tomato? You go get a canned tomato. Yep. If you're cooking with it, what are the odds you're going to be using a fresh tomato? You're not.
No.
You're going to be using a canned tomato. Mm-hmm. Here's a little something you don't know about canned tomatoes. The peeled ones, and let's face it, when they're in a can, they're always peeled. You know, you got the whole peeled, you got the chopped peeled, you got the diced peeled, you got the tomato puree, and then you got your tomato sauces. Right? That's a lot of different peeled tomatoes going into these cans.
Yes.
And the difference between them is how much they're mashed. Really.
When you break it down, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, they're in bigger and bigger pieces and then smaller and smaller pieces. Did you know that in order to remove the peels from a tomato, people used to, a long time ago, blast them in boiling water for a second or steam, and then the peels would come right off. But people haven't been doing that because it's not very efficient. What they've been doing is dipping them in lye.
What?
Lye.
Lye. The same thing they soak the fish in for...
For lutefisk.
Lutefisk.
It's poison.
It's poison.
It's caustic poison. It's very horrible poison. And if you ingest any of it, you get sick.
Yeah.
If you ingest a lot of it, you die.
It's acid, yeah.
So they dip the tomatoes in these, and apparently it's so horrible, this stuff, that the peel comes right off.
Oh, well,
so
that's great.
So if you are a food manufacturer, you go, ooh, that's awesome.
That's quick. Let's
that,
do it.
That makes my job super easy, and I can have one underpaid guy do it as opposed to 10 underpaid guys doing it, and then you're dipping all your tomatoes in lye. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you're dipping your tomatoes in lye.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, lutefisk is soaked until all the lye comes out.
Yeah.
You keep on soaking it and soaking it to get all that chemicals out.
Well, a tomato has naturally a lot of fluid in it, and the more you soak it, the more the tomato juice flavors come out.
Exactly.
And then the less tomato flavors are in there to actually flavor the tomato.
Mm-hmm.
So excessive soaking is not going to really happen too much. However, it is a very brief dip in lye.
Okay.
So your tomato is only soaking in caustic poison for a second.
Oh, wow. That's it? Oh, that's fine then.
But people don't like that.
No.
People don't like it when their delicious fresh vegetables come out of the garden and are instantly dipped in caustic acidic poison.
Yeah, I can get that. Why
they
would you like
don't
that?
Don't really like that.
No.
Canned tomatoes people do like because they're often, they're firm, they're tender, they're juicy, they're tasty.
And they're uniform. You can always get them and they taste the same all year round.
Part of the reason that they're tasty and delicious is because of this quick dip in the lye. And then the minimal soaking afterward to remove the lye.
Mm.
So you like the flavor, but what you're tasting is a result of the efficient use of poison.
Huh.
So how do you get past that? Hunt is the only company that actually still uses steam.
Wow.
To remove the skins. It's more a little bit more labor intensive.
Yeah.
Not much more labor intensive. But we're talking about billions and billions of cans of tomatoes. Mm-hmm. A few seconds here or there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge difference. It could affect if you're a big food manufacturer, if you're Hunt's or if you're Heinz, or if you're some of these other canning companies, mm-hmm. that could save you at the end of the year millions.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. Just in for the brief immersion in poison.
In poison.
What's wrong with that? What, right?
Right.
People don't like it.
We're just going to poison people a little bit.
The few people that know about this don't like it. And as a result, they are buying fresh tomatoes. and they're saying, dang it, how do I get the skin off this stupid thing?
Well, that's easy enough. You just cut a little hole in the bottom, a little X on the bottom of the tomato, not where the plant side is. Boil it for a second and then throw it in ice water.
Blanch.
And then blanch.
Yeah, quick
exactly.
Blanch.
Blanch and shock. And then peel it and you're all set.
Yeah. Now, they make a special kind of peeler. It's a soft skin peeler. It's got a little bit of a serrated edge. You're used to veggie peelers that look, it just looks like a smooth razor blade,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then that's what you're going to use to you know, shave off things like carrots and zucchinis. Mm-hmm. But for a soft skin thing, I know it's frustrating to try to peel a tomato, but they do make peelers for that.
Oh, wow.
They're called tomato peelers. Now, if you were to walk into a store, a Target, any kind of thing that has any kind of utensil or... God forbid, Williams-Sonoma.
Oh, there we go.
Which I don't recommend you go into because they do have the tomato peeler, but it's 10 times as much.
Yeah.
Their special Williams-Sonoma branded tomato peeler is $20.
That's ridiculous.
Whereas,
yes,
if you get one from a Sears or a Target or a Walmart, it will cost you $1.90.
Hmm. Huh? Which one are you going to buy?
Well, I know which one I'd buy.
Yeah, what I bought. Yeah.
the $20 one. What do you mean? I like to have logos on my stuff. It's that important to me. To have some hoity-toity overpriced logo
exactly.
on my stuff.
I just use my paring knife. I don't know peeler for tomatoes.
Well, people have been recently investigating the merits and taste of the 16 brands of canned tomatoes, and they tested them, and they found some lie.
Oh.
Yeah. They found some lie.
I bet.
So there are little bits of lie. Why? Because whenever you have a manufacturing plant,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to be doing things the way that you figured out was kind of the best, most efficient, most cost-effective way. And for the first few years, you kind of tested it to make sure there was nothing happening. Well, you know what happened? You know what changes?
Mass production.
Vegetables.
Oh, that's true, huh?
They change.
They do.
The more generations of vegetables that are born, that mm-hmm. are germinated, that grow slowly, it's called evolution, people.
Mm-hmm.
The consistency, the density of the fibers, vegetables change. With each new generation, they change subtly.
Yeah, or even with monosatin's help. If
it's
they're
like,
firmer, they're going to hold on to it more.
It's like how you get a foot that eventually turns into a fin. It's how you get a land-dwelling amphibian 450 million years ago that eventually turns into a special kind of fish. It's the evolution of the vegetable, of the fruit. They change. And people, by the way, help them change because they're constantly messing with the vegetables and fruits genes.
Mm-hmm.
So you take natural evolution bumped up with the human interference, which makes the evolution really speed up. And we're talking about new generations of tomatoes that, guess what? They, in the process of making a better, denser tomato, a tomato that can handle weather and pests,
mm-hmm.
the density of the flesh and the impermeability of the skin does change.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about a tomato that used to be kind of resistant to the lye that it was soaking in. Now it's absorbing some of the lye.
Wow, now it likes the lye.
Yeah, now it likes the lye.
Yep.
Just like people.
Yeah.
They love the lies. They're more comfortable with the lies.
Yes.
Not cool. So they're testing these tomatoes and they're finding some lye.
That's great.
And we don't own any stock in Hunts, but you know what I'm thinking? Buy Hunts.
Buy Hunts.
I'm thinking buy Hunts. They don't use
they
steam.
They steam it.
Steam will never hurt you no matter what. Now, if you are a person who makes a lot of Italian food at home, you're going to be using an awful lot of canned tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Or you like chili, canned tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. If you rarely use canned tomatoes, I don't think it matters.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a couple of parts per million here. We're not talking about a big deal. But if you use canned tomatoes a lot, maybe, just maybe, you should intentionally buy the brand that doesn't introduce poisonous caustic chemicals that could kill you. You know?
How much do you love your family? Like, hey, it's just a little lie. Don't worry about it.
It's just a little lie.
Lie,
a little lie isn't going to hurt anyone.
A little lie is going to hurt anybody.
Exactly. People say that a lot. Now, here's what's funny about tomatoes. You know how people are always saying, you stupid idiot, it's a fruit, not a vegetable. Right?
Right.
Okay. In 1893... in the deciding of a tariff case, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the tomato, which originated in South America, was in fact a vegetable.
Well, so who did that? The Senate? No.
That would be the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, they're always wrong. So it's a fruit.
Now, that's an interesting factoid, though.
Yeah.
Because people like to be right.
Yeah.
So when people are talking to you about stuff, they're going to be, what? You know, if a tomato is a fruit,
in America.
Why don't you put it in a fruit salad then?
Ooh.
Stoop.
I'm going to put it in a fruit salad now.
Yeah, actually, tomatoes in a fruit salad aren't bad.
No, it's not bad at all. It's really great. It's
actually kind of good. But people like to argue, people aren't generally aware of other vegetables that are fruits.
No.
You know, or other fruits that think they're vegetables. These are some confused fruits, you know. But can you argue with the Supreme Court of the United States?
You can, but you'll lose. But you
right.
can.
Right. You can, but you'll lose. If the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that a tomato is, in fact, a vegetable, and not recently, over 100 years ago, folks.
Before you even heard about the tomato.
Yeah, like 125 years ago, something like that. Guess what? All you schmucks out there that say, what, you stupid? A tomato is actually a fruit because it has seeds. You know what? You lost that battle.
Yeah. Maybe outside the States, you can win that battle. But here in America, it's a vegetable. Oh, America.
Tune in next week for Coffee Talk. Which beans are best for producing the tastiest, most aromatic, and voluptuous cup of joe? The best canned foods. That's going to be fun because most people think the best canned foods, the best foods are fresh foods. But sometimes it can be way tastier and a lot easier to use the canned stuff instead. And Ode to Hawaii, all things Hawaiian, including how to make poi delicious. That's all next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you, when tempted to fight fire with fire, remember that the fire department usually uses water.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Friend Vest International, Inc.